Welcome back. I'm Mark Strauss, the TV guy on the radio. It's 1:43 at WJBC and 85 degrees. A little bit warm today. That's going to cool down over the next few days. And joining me now in the studio is Steve Schmidt. He's here representing the Prairie Aviation Museum because this Saturday the museum will begin its series of Open Cockpit Days, which is a fabulous event or series of events because you get to get in the planes and everything else. So, Steve, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having us in. Really excited to be here today.
How long has the Open Cockpit Day been going on?
Well, if you remember now, the museum has been a fabric of this community now for 34 years. Years ago, we used to do air shows. I think from like 1989 to 1993, the museum put on big air shows. And, of course, as you know, the security environment at airports these days, we can't do that. The Open Cockpit Days kind of came from folks wanting an event, but something we could do within the safe confines of the museum itself. So, really, you can look at it in the last 10 years that the Open Cockpit Days have really been a consistent thing every summer.
So you get to come over and you get to get in the planes, touch the planes, and I imagine there's somebody there to sort of tell people about some of the features of the planes and what they were used for at one time. Give me an idea of, and you brought a brochure, but
sure.
Maybe paint a mental picture for people at home about some of the aircraft that people will get to see and enjoy this Saturday. By the way, it's from 10 to 4,
mm-hmm.
10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
10 a.m. to 4 p.m. out at 2929 East Empire, mm-hmm. out at the airport. Now, to think about the event, what folks can do when they come in, first off, they have the opportunity to tour the indoor part of the museum, which is air-conditioned, which is a nice thing to have on some days when it gets real warm in the air park. But we have 11 aircraft, 9 of which are on display in the air park at this time. And while, as you drive by, clearly it looks to be mostly military exhibits, which,
yeah.
Yes, they are, because the generosity of the various military organizations, they provide us with these aircraft that we keep on at what we call a permanent loan. But we do also have general aviation aircraft on display as well. And like you said, the neat thing with the Prairie Aviation Museum is you go to a lot of museums, and they've got everything roped off, and everything is just, keep your child away, keep yourself away, etc. Well, PAM, as we call it, our acronym, we're different. We want people to touch the airplanes. We want you to think about where this wing on this airplane has been. What did it do? How did it go? We do have volunteers that'll be at every single aircraft, some of which, one in particular, flew that exact type of aircraft. He'll be on display, and he constantly gives a great tour. But the key thing is we want folks to come out and just have a ball, have fun. I mean, if you've ever thought of what it's like to sit in a cockpit of an F-4 Phantom jet fighter, hey, now's your chance. It's a real neat opportunity, and I can't tell you how fun it is to see the sea of strollers, as we call it, because so many kids and parents alike like to just come out and just have a great time for whatever amount of time they've got.
And it's a tight fit getting into an F-4, too.
Oh, yeah, it is. You've been in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I
get
in,
not as easy as it used
to
be.
Yeah, I look at it and think, how did they get in here and sit here for that many hours?
That's right. And not only do you have the aircraft, but I'm looking here at what you've brought in, and you actually have engines that are separated from the aircraft.
We do.
And some of them are sort of opened up. They're almost, I don't want to say they're cut in half.
It's
but
they call it a cutaway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you can actually see all the, and it's just really impressive, all the moving parts and what it takes to create the power mm-hmm. for these aircraft.
Well, and a good example, inside the museum, we have a, what is called, it's a made by Wright, it's an R-3350 radial engine. So it's a World War II gasoline-powered radial engine. And it's a cutaway, so you can see all the intricate pieces of it inside. And this year we're adding a new feature where you can actually hear the sound of these engines we have on display starting up. And what's fun for folks to understand is the difference between a turbojet and a radial engine and how they ran and how they operated. So anytime we can, we try and add a little more detail, a little more excitement to it.
And there's a lot of layers to this display, exhibit, whatever you want to call it, with all of these aircraft. Mm-hmm. You've got helicopters, you've got
yep.
military helicopters.
Yes.
And you've also got you've got models.
Yes, we do.
That are on display. And a lot of people, because we're never going to fly a military aircraft, but a lot of people like to build the models of these aircraft.
And we've one of the neat things with the museum is we have been blessed by donors that provide we have in the excess of 600-700 models available. We can't display them all at any one time, but what's fantastic is the detail that they put into building these models, the artistry. And what's really neat too is you can come to our museum and you can see a model of an aircraft that perhaps they built one or two of, and they don't even exist any longer. But here's a model from a kit from the 1940s, and it's on display there. So you get opportunities to see planes that just simply don't exist. So it's a neat piece of history, and we try and keep that evolving and switching the models out as often as we can.
I remember when I was a kid, I saw a movie about the Memphis Belle.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I saw that movie, my dad suggested to me, hey, if you like that, you know, we can get a model of that, and you can put it together. And somewhere, I still have that model, somewhere. But I remember putting that together and trying to be really, really, and I maybe was 10 years old when I did it. But you want it to look exactly like it looked in the movie. So you've got models like this, but they're more contemporary, I think, in looking at the picture here. And those are really, really fun. Really fun to look at. Now, do we know? Do you know off the top of your head any of the missions that any of these aircraft that you'll have on display, or is that something that the people who are with the aircraft on the open cockpit day will have better information on?
Well, actually, I can share the aircraft if you look through when you go through our air park. Now, the military aircraft, each, you know, they were in service for a significant amount of time. Our Bell UH-1 Huey helicopter, for example, that had two tours in Vietnam. And if you ask the volunteer, they'll show you close where you can actually see damage, where it had been fired upon during combat and damage that was repaired. Another example would be the F-100 that you'll see. That's the first airplane you see as you drive up, and it's painted up like one of the Air Force Thunderbirds precision flying team aircraft. What's cool, that aircraft, it was built in 1956. It went to Chanute Air Force Base late in 56, and it never left. It was used for training. So while most of the F-100 aircraft were just run to death in the Vietnam conflict, we actually have, if you can imagine it this way, it's a 1956 aircraft that hardly flew. So think about a 1956 Corvette that has 10,000 miles on it. It's kind of what we have sitting in the air park out there. So lots of history behind literally every one of the aircraft.
Are any of these, if someone wanted to, capable of flying again?
Well, we joke about that. Any one of them could. You know, it's just money. A lot of money. But no, actually, everything that we have in the air park is currently, the military aircraft absolutely cannot. Matter of fact, the F-14 Tomcat, when we got that, it was demilitarized and agreements had to be made that aircraft, because that was still a frontline aircraft when we got it. Then we had to be careful. But at this point, none of our aircraft currently are going back into flying status. They're for display.
I'm looking at the control panel on one of these aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Is it one of your simulators? It's from an A7.
Yeah, A7 Corsair.
Yeah, instrument panel from an A7.
Mm-hmm.
What strikes me about that is today there would be much more of a digital display.
Right.
But these are the old gauges, and there's so many of them, and that's what's sort of overwhelming and impressive about what a pilot does in one of these aircraft, is to be able to read all of those. So just for the benefit of educating me, and I know our listeners can't see that picture, but there's obviously, you know, you have your fuel gauge, and you have your, you know, the things that you might even have on your car, which tells you, you know,
the operations of the systems on the aircraft, right?
What else is there that we wouldn't necessarily think of as folks who don't know how to fly?
Sure. Well, if you look at it on the right-hand side, right in the middle, there's looks like a blank space, and that's because that is kind of, you know, today's technology, everything, you know, amazing what you can do with a glass screen and a touch phone. That was actually a piece of avionics equipment that you'd click in the receiver of what you needed it to do. The big bright orange display right in the center, that's original radar. and that would it was actually utilized for guiding in weapon systems. And kind of think of your old Pong, if those of us old enough to remember TV Pong, you had a little blip, and you would guide the blip to another area where you wanted it to go. I mean, it was really limited detail. But you hit a great point. We often have regional jet pilots that come through in open cockpit days to visit, and they climb in the cockpit, and they look at all these gauges, and you know their life is now a glass screen, which has all that information on a screen. But to see it in a variety of steam gauges, yeah, for them, even it's overwhelming. They look and go, wow, how did they do it? But as a pilot then, well, you did.
That's all they had. That was advanced technology back then. So open cockpit day on Saturday starts at 10 a.m., runs till 4. Adults, $5. Kids over 6, $5.
Yes.
So anyone over 6.
Yep, all kids 6 and over.
Okay.
So we joking about that. Any kid from 6 to 100. We're all kids.
But a nice, inexpensive way to spend your day, get learn a little bit about these planes, these aircraft, and also your kids will have a great time. And this is a really good video opportunity for you, mom and dad. Get your phone, bring your camera, that sort of thing. Send pictures to grandma. And 20 years from now, you'll pull these out, and you'll remember these when the family comes over. Steve, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having us.
All right, anytime. It's 155 at WJBC.
WJBC is your weather voice for Central Illinois.
AM 1230 WJBC.
And WJBC.com.